very big welcome to Now That's What I Call Sport on 98FM.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
Hello there, good morning. You are very welcome to Now That's What I Call Sport here on Dublin's 98FM. Fantastic sunny day in our fair city. So much for Storm Jorge, because it's very nice out at the moment. Coming up between now and 10, we'll hear the latest on the news that the coronavirus is officially in the Republic of Ireland and the impact it will have on sport here and further afield. Andy Farrell and Johnny Sexton on Ireland's Six Nations game next weekend against Italy being cancelled.
Obviously disappointed not to play, but it's the right decision, isn't it? You know, there's more important things than a game of rugby, isn't there?
Leinster will be on our agenda too after another win. 98FM's League of Ireland Sunday will have reaction from Shamrock Rovers against Dundalk on Friday, which saw the best goal I've ever seen in the League of Ireland and one of the biggest crowds ever as well. Over 7,500 there for that game. Stephen Bradley, Vinnie Perth and Jack Byrne will be here as well.
I think it shows the potential of the league as a whole. The two best teams in the country go head to head and 7,500, I think it's a massive plus for the league as a whole.
I hope it was a good spectacle. Great atmosphere in the ground, and the ground is a credit to everybody around here. Made for a good night, so very happy.
We'll be talking all things Dublin as well, and then we welcome Conor O'Keefe to the studio. He's about to do something amazing. He's an ultra marathon runner.
Project 32. It's just 32 marathons in 32 days in the 32 counties of Ireland with 32 pounds on my back, and I lose a pound a day after each marathon.
That's all in aid of Pieta House. He's trying to raise €100,000 for them, and we'll be giving away a family pass for Ireland Women's Euro 2021 qualifier against Greece at Tallaght Stadium this Thursday.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
But first, I'm joined in studio, as always, by Nathan Whelan. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And Adrian Harmon of 98FM News. Adrian, hello.
Good morning.
Now, we don't often have our news team with us in studio, but breaking news overnight, the coronavirus officially in the Republic of Ireland. It's going to impact everybody, really, and sport too, which we mentioned in a minute, but just the news overnight that it's arrived on the East Coast.
Yeah, I suppose we heard last week that a woman who flew into Dublin but lives in the north, it was the first on the island to get to the illness. Now we know as of last night that a man has contracted the virus coming from the same area, northern Italy. He is being treated in the eastern part of the country as far as we're aware. He travelled from there. That is of course the worst affected region in all of Europe. A lot of people coming from that region are affected. He's been treated, and health authorities say his case was found as he followed procedure. So that was anyone found to be in a high-risk area, they contact their GP and self-isolate. As far as we're aware, it's understood as well that he wasn't even feeling unwell at the time. Work now really underway to find out who the man came in contact with on his travels.
Yeah, the risk to the public overall and advice to people about, you know, washing their hands, sneezing into their elbow and stuff.
Yeah, I suppose there's more than 85,000 cases around the world at the moment, 60 countries affected. Last week, the WHO says cases in China were overtaken by those around the globe. That was for the first time. So it really seems to be escalating globally. But the health authorities here, they were expecting a case, and they say they've been putting containment plans in place. They say there's a moderate to high chance of more cases, but they are stressing of someone who's not been to the country affected, that the risk to them remains extremely low.
Now, the reason that Ireland's game against Italy is off is because northern Italy is a very badly affected region, and the idea of 5,000 or 6,000 Italians flying here and coming in contact in a stadium with 40,000 Irish people wasn't ideal. But that's not the only event, sporting and otherwise, across Europe and the world that's in major doubt being cancelled and certainly being looked at.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see like the extra measures taken to tackle the spread here in the coming weeks. Other countries, they've put bans in place on a large scale. I know France is one of those. Switzerland last week also put in bans of over gatherings of over 1,000 people, so that's the likes of the Geneva Motor Show that seems to be cancelled now. The rugby here cancelled last week. There is talk that even the St Patrick's Day events could be affected around the country, which would be huge here on the island of Ireland. At this stage hasn't been ruled out. Some of the measures being taken elsewhere, Britain, the British government, they've announced plans to possibly bring doctors out of retirement to help fight the virus over there. Scotland saying they're going to start screening flu patients as a precaution. A lot happening really to stem the spread of this.
Adrian, thanks a million.
No problem.
Nathan, sport overall and its importance in the context of this is being summed up very well by everybody involved, really. But apart from the Six Nations game, there's doubts over things like the Euros, which is going to be held across 12 different European cities, the Olympics coming up as well, and like loads more.
Yes, obviously you mentioned there the Euros. Four Serie A matches were called off last weekend, which will be from the same place as four Euro 2020 games are scheduled to take place. Five more Serie A games have been called off this weekend, so that puts Ireland's crucial Euro 2020 playoff against Slovakia in March in doubt. Also, in the Olympics, President of the International Olympic Committee, Thomas Bach, told Japanese media, preparations continue for the games before telling athletes to continue training full steam ahead. While Peter Sherrod is the CEO of Olympic Federations Ireland, is confident the games will go ahead. But said the tournament will be scrapped if it poses a threat to health of athletes and spectators. Speaking of that, the Irish boxing team returned home from a pre-Olympic qualifier training camp in Italy amid health fears as well. Obviously, you mentioned the Six Nations, Ireland, Italy postponed. Tournament chiefs are attending a pre-scheduled World Rugby Summit in Paris on Monday to discuss the next move.
And tell me about the handshaking, which is a big tradition before most sports matches, before, you know, a golf match or a tennis match or a rugby or football or Gaelic or whatever. I saw one of the Premier League teams last night touching knuckles as opposed to shaking hands. But, like, you would think shaking hands with people is a little bit silly, given that that's the virus can be spread via, if I have it and I touch my nose or I sneeze and I shake your hand and you touch your own nose, you're putting yourself in risk.
Yes, and it's not only that. According to the Telegraph, handshaking can help spread the virus because you come in such close proximity with people that you're actually breathing in the same air that they're breathing in if you're handshaking. According to the Telegraph, Professor John Oxford of Queen Mary University of London said handshaking pleases the virus. And they also claim that Newcastle and West Ham have banned their players from shaking hands. As you mentioned there, the possible knuckle touch is an answer to that.
Yeah, well, I know Steve Bruce, the Newcastle manager, was saying every morning when the players and the staff arrive into the training ground, they all shake hands and high five and whatever. That's all been stopped because he doesn't want it to spread across his squad and his players and his staff. So you would think that, you know, the Premier League and, for example, the FAI and the IRFU and all of these associations should actually give a directive about what the football, or the sports team, should I say, should do to try and make sure that when they are, because you think 20 fellas in a changing room, on a bus, in a team huddle, there's a lot of, you know, close contact with people, and it is something that I think they should maybe give some actual advice on. Now, two people who've been speaking about this are Andy Farrell, the Ireland rugby head coach, and Johnny Sexton, the Ireland captain, of course. After Ireland Italy next weekend was called off, the Health Minister Simon Harris instructed the IRFU effectively that the game couldn't take place, and Ireland had an open session at Energy Park during the week. We're reacting to that news.
Obviously disappointing not to play again after a loss. That's the first thing that you want to do, isn't it? You know, work out the reasons why, and then get back out there on the pitch and put those things right again. So obviously disappointed not to play, but it's the right decision, isn't it? You know, there's more important things than a game of rugby, isn't there?
Yeah, exact same as Andy. Like as players, when you play personally, when you play bad, you want to just go and play straight away. I was almost tempted to go and try and play for Leinster tomorrow night, but the that's just how you know, there's nothing worse than a long wait now, but it is what it is. We've just got to prepare. We trained hard today, and we have another big week next week, and yeah, we can get a lot, you know, fixed over the couple of weeks. We've got to look at the positives that we can have a bit of time and develop some things together now.
There's a little bit of uncertainty of what may happen because of what you read about, etc., and what's going on in the world, but I suppose first and foremost you've got to make sure that those type of things, we do the right thing as a game, really, don't we? And yeah, I suppose we definitely will do that, but as far as distractions concerned, we're training, we're rugby players, we come to work, and we try and get better.
We would just would have preferred if it was just 2 weeks, but it's not. It's three, and that's the bottom line, and we just got to get over it. You know what I mean? It's a decision that obviously has been taken out of the players' hands. Like we play it behind closed doors if we could, but we, you know, it's not an option, and we're just going with the plan now, and we'll try and get ready for France.
We've been in for a few days this week, and that was the normal. That was the normal prep that we was going to have anyway. We have a rest over the weekend. We come back in Sunday, train Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday, and we have a long weekend off. So the key is for us is to use the time appropriately and to our advantage as well.
So Nathan, what is the official latest on Six Nations fixtures moving forward, when the game that's been called off for Ireland might take place, and will the France match actually happen in a couple of weeks' time, which you heard Sexton and Farrell talking about there?
Yeah, the Six Nations Tournament Chiefs are attending a pre-shows of World Rugby Summit in Paris. That's on Monday, and that's to discuss all plans. If the games that have been postponed will be played, when they will be played, and if Ireland's final Six Nations games, which is scheduled for Saturday the 14th of March against France in Paris, will go ahead at all.
Yes, now Ireland, of course, well beaten 24-12 by England in last weekend's game. And Johnny Sexton has been asked about the improvements his team need to make before the game against France and then hopefully the game against Italy as well.
There's a lot. Just how one thing can have a knock-on effect. You know, when you have a plan and you don't quite get it to where you want to go, you know, what you do next. So, you know, lots of things across all the whole game, you know, across the board, really, you know, and it's tough to learn. You know, you don't want to learn those lessons because we felt we were building well and, you know, after a great performance against Wales, which we felt there was more in us, we thought we'd get that out of us. But England obviously made life more difficult for us and we didn't adapt well enough, you know what I mean? We didn't end up well enough early, and that's our fault as players. You know, we got to be able to change things on the run, and well, we've learned that now, and hopefully we'll be better for it.
Now, Johnny Sexton didn't play great in the England match, missed, you know, a lot of opportunities for points from the boot as well, and has been criticised by several pundits, some even suggesting he shouldn't be the Ireland captain, and also been absolutely hammered on social media. He's been an absolutely unbelievable player for Ireland, and yes, he had a bad game, but some of the criticism massively over the top, really, and he's been speaking about it being water off a duck's back, really.
No, I'm my biggest critic, so I was gutted for the last 3 or 4 days. Absolutely gutted with my performance, full of confidence going into the game, and sometimes you have one of those days where bounce for a ball that affects you and just knock on a few errors, and then happy with how it came out second half. But yeah, not a day I remember fondly, but it is what it is. I've had it throughout my career where you have one of those games every, you know, it might be a season or maybe a couple of seasons, or it could be, you know, a run of games. But it is what it is, you know. Once you prepare well and you know, have the best intentions to, you know, perform and do everything you can to perform, most of the time it happens and sometimes it doesn't, and it is what it is. I'm well used to the criticism. I've had it for my whole career. One week you're good, one week you're bad, so keep it coming.
Now, Six Nations, no games involving Ireland for the next couple of weeks anyway, before that game against France and the Italy game, which we're not sure when they'll be refixed. But Leinster are continuing to be in action, Nathan. They played on Friday night and, surprise, surprise, guess what? They won again.
They did. It was an incredible 55-19 bonus point win over Glasgow Warriors at the RDS on Friday night. It was a man of the match display by Academy lock Ryan Barrett. He notched 3 tries. Dave Kearney also touched down 3 times, with Scott Fardy and James Lowe also crossing the whitewash in the impressive win. This makes the Blues 13 wins from 13 games in the Pro 14 as their incredible one continues.
Yes, now the coach Leo Cullen and James Lowe have been reacting to that win with Leinster Rugby TV.
Really pleasing, because we're up against a very good team as well in Glasgow. And they're constantly probing, looking for opportunities. And yeah, no, I thought the intensity that we brought to the game was good, you know, which, and it's very, very pleasing. The focus generally was pretty good. A couple of times I thought in the second half we looked a little bit vulnerable. Glasgow exposed us a couple of times. But overall, no, yeah, no, you couldn't, like, as in, we're pleased with the way the players applied themselves. So yeah, no, it's been a nice little block of games for us, you know, three games, 3 wins, and on we go to the next challenge now.
You know, this is we came off the back of, I think, 16 games in a row, couple of weeks off, 3 games now. I mean, it's hugely important to stay on that winning road. The boys put in some shift tonight, you know, that Glasgow team, they're going to go deep in this competition, and it was just awesome to put in a performance at home that we can actually be proud of going into another break.
Now, Nathan, we're going to speak about the other provinces in action and one game off as well.
Yes, Munster recorded a 29-10 win over the Scarlets. Connacht are in South Africa for the Southern Kings today. That kicks off at 1 p.m. while Ulster's trip to Benetton was postponed due to the coronavirus outbreak.
Now, I hope we're actually on the radio, Nathan, because our red Mic Live microphone light isn't actually on. But, oh, it's on behind me.
It's on behind you, Jamie.
It must be a bulb, because that's why I was wondering, because when we turn on our microphones here, folks, for a little bit of Secrets Radio, a little red light comes on that says On Air Mic Live, and it's not on behind Nathan's head, but it's on behind mine and I couldn't see it, so we are on.
I was at ease this whole time, and I'm glad that my one was working and not your one.
Because I can press a button to actually listen to the actual radio station feed as opposed to what's in our ears, and we are on, but it's a little bit unnerving. But anyway, we're here, thank God.
We're here.
Now, Leo Cullen, the Leinster coach, has been talking as well about the moving parts with, of course, this Ireland game to be refixed, the coronavirus threat to sport in general. Of course, Leinster getting ready for more Pro 14 games, and also that massive European Champions Cup game at the Aviva Stadium at home to Saracens.
Yeah, I think the group have got themselves into a great position, in obviously the two competitions that we're in. So we know we have a home quarterfinal to look forward to against Saracens in Europe, and where we sit in the league. And, there's obviously a fair bit of uncertainty around at the moment. And we just need to make sure that we're certain when we go out on the field and play and do everything we can to get as many points we possibly can, so to get ourselves in the best position, because then we can easier deal with all those other distractions. So some credit to the players, they've been good. There's lots of moving parts, because obviously whatever happens with the Six Nations and players coming back together, and we need to make sure we knuckle down and work very, very hard in terms of that quarterfinal piece, where you've got the group, two groups really coming together, and we've done it plenty of times in the past, so we've learned from some mistakes in the past, and that's important that we do that. We learn from the mistakes, don't make them again, and we do everything we can, because we know it's going to be a massive occasion, that quarterfinal game at the Aviva, which is, which I believe is pretty close to sold out already, if not sold out already. So and they're the special days that all the players want to be involved in. So, and that's what you're seeing now. You're seeing, I think, a competitive group that all want to play in these big games coming up.
Now, I want to give a shout out to my little cousin, Nathan. Is that okay?
That's definitely
because we gave
okay.
a shout out to your granddad last week.
Yes, works well, yeah.
So his name is Art Doonan, and he is in his car now with his mum, Maria, and his dad, Niall, my auntie and uncle, his uncle, James, and his sister, Isha. And they're on the way with Mid-Southern Athletics team to the Dublin Juvenile Under 11 Championships in Abbottstown in the indoor arena. And Art is like an absolute bullet. He's so quick, and they won the Dublin Relay Championships last week too. And he's on the way to his race, listening to his big cousin on the radio, and I really hope he wins. I think he could win.
Best of luck, Art. And thankfully it's indoors, obviously, as you mentioned, in the Abbottstown. It seems a bit clearer today, but weather, Irish weather and that. But best of luck, Art.
And if he turns out to be as sportingly talented and quick as his big cousin Jamie, he's in for a great life.
Well, I hope you can do better than that, Art, because I'm praying for you.
Now, competition time on there. That's What I Call Sport on 98FM. We've got a family pass to give away for a Women's Euro 2021 qualifier at Tallaght Stadium this coming Thursday at 7:15 as Ireland hosts Greece. They're also going to play in Montenegro then next Wednesday too. And an important match, of course, trying to make it to their first ever major championships. We've got a family pass to give away. There's been unbelievable crowds in Tallaght to watch the girls in green for the last couple of years, and they're hopeful to break another record this coming Thursday as well. So if you'd like to be there, nice and simple, you've got a text or WhatsApp. Come on, you girls in green. Plus your name and where you are, and the number you need is 0877 98 98 98. That's Come On You Girls in Green, plus your name and where you are, and text or WhatsApp to 0877 98 98 98. We'll announce the winner at the end of the show. We'll hear from the Ireland manager Vera Powell next, plus Stephen Bradley, Jack Byrne and Vinnie Pert on the League of Ireland. We'll round up the Dubs and Conor O'Keefe, who's about to run 32 marathons in 32 counties in 32 days with 32 pounds on his back. Project 32, all in Eddie Pieta House. He'll join us in studio as well. We're back in a sec.
98FM. Now that's what I call sport with Jamie Moore.
You're very welcome back. Just 25 past nine on a sunny Sunday morning in Dublin. It's actually quite nice out, even though we're in a nice warm studio, so God knows what the weather is actually like. But it's actually bright, and there's no rain or sleet or snow or anything at the moment, which is very nice indeed. Now, Nathan, that wasn't the case last night at Healy Park in Omagh. Tyrone against Dublin in the Allianz National Football League. Dublin lost, but the story was, should the match have been on?
Yes, and it definitely should not, is the overwhelming response to that. Tyrone recorded a 110-107 win over Dublin. Obviously, that was in terrible conditions, thanks to Storm Jorge, or George, however you want to pronounce it. Colin Baskell scored a goal in the opening 2 minutes for the boys in blue, but they went in level at half-time, where there was a bit of a brawl. Jamie, have you seen this?
Rubbish.
Nonsense.
Absolute embarrassing.
Yeah.
Grown men fighting each other in the tunnel, like... You watch a rugby match, right? And the rugby players are absolutely smashing each other and tackling each other and in scrums and all this type of stuff. Majority of it fair. You know, sometimes in rugby there's a high tackle or a bad tackle or someone throws a punch. But every week now it seems to be in a GAA match that there's either handbags or last night looked like a proper fight in the tunnel. Now I know the boat managers were playing it down and stuff. But like, why can't they just behave themselves?
Yes, well, it's obviously it's a question of discipline. You know, I'd say the Tyrone lads could have been.
Of course, Tyrone or the Mayo or the Kerry lads trying to wind up the Dubs or whatever it might be. That's a bit biased for me being a Dublin radio station. But like, just get on with the game. Yes, there needs to be physicality and there needs to be a bit of a physical edge. But it seems to be every week now there's a brawl, there's a melee, and it's ridiculous. And it's not a great example for anybody watching, particularly young people.
Definitely not. But as you mentioned there, they both came out in the second half. Tyrone's blanket defence continued to frustrate the All-Ireland champions as both sides were level in the 68th minute before a Rory Brennan goal sealed the win for the hosts. And that result sees Galway, Dublin and Tyrone all tied for top in the league with 6 points. However, the men from the West have a game in hand.
I'd say the refs and the umpires were in for their afternoon or their half-time cup of tea. They didn't even see the fight.
Yeah, I wouldn't say so.
Would you blame them? Most
of the fans would have been in as well because the conditions were horrendous. There was a clip online of a Dean Rock attempted point. Did you see this?
I did. It ended up nearly being a sideline ball.
Yeah, it nearly hit the corner flag. Absolutely ridiculous. The game should have been called off.
Now, Joe Brolly was on Air Sport last night. His piece in the Sunday Indo sums up the weather. He said, when I arrived into the TV truck before the game, it was swaying in the gale like a boat. I'd walked the length of the pitch beforehand and it was clearly unplayable. The central column of the field from post to post covered in surface water. Cormac Riley, who's the referee, arrived out for his inspection with an O'Neill's ball. He kept lobbing it into the air and watching it drop dead in the water. 5 times he shook his head. It looked as if the game was going to be off, and should have been off really, but it wasn't, and Dublin were beaten for the first time in the league this season. And that's the Dublin footballers, Nathan. The hurlers in action later on.
Yes, they play Clare at Cusack Park in Ennis later today. Throw in there is at 2 p.m. and the under-20s are also in action there, play in the Leinster football final against Laois this coming Friday at Netwatch Cullen Park. Throw in there is at 7:30 p.m.
Now, I'm looking forward to the weather being a bit nicer for the summertime and getting out back on the golf course, and that's where Shane Lowry is at the moment.
Yes, it's in the final day of the Honda Classic at Palm Beach in Florida. Shane Lowry's the only Irishman in action after Padraig Harrington failed to make the cut, but Lowry is not in good stead. He is tied for 23rd on 1 over after shooting a shocking second round of 3 over. Tommy Fleetwood leads the way on 5 under with American Brendan Steele close behind on 4 under.
Now, the texts and WhatsApps flying in for a family pass to go and see Ireland Women's Euro 2021 qualifier against Greece at Tallaght Stadium this coming Thursday before the girls in green travel to Montenegro on next Wednesday. If you'd like to be there, text or WhatsApp "Come on you girls in green" plus your name and where you are, and the number you need is 0877 98 98 98. That's 0877 98 98 98. Here's the Ireland manager Vera Powell on the importance of 6 points in their bid to make their first ever major tournament.
We need 6 points. It's not that we will be out if we have a draw in one of these games, but it will make life very difficult for us.
Now, huge crowds at Tallaght Stadium to cheer on the Ireland women's team in recent years as well. They're hoping for another one of over 5,000 at Tallaght on Thursday, including 498FM listeners, of course. And here is Vera Powell on that connection between her team, her players and the supporters.
I've seen the Montenegro game and I've been involved in the Ukraine game. But talking to the players, they are so up for it and they're looking so forward to playing Tallaght Stadium again. They cannot wait to be in. So that's a very good sign, I think, because they are the ones that that are the face of the team. And if they are so enthusiastic about it, that means that there's a very good connection between the fans and them, and I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, Ireland-Greece kicks off at Tallaght Stadium this coming Thursday at 7:15.
League of Ireland on 98FM. The best place on the radio for the SSE Airtricity League.
Now, Shamrock Rovers 3, Dundalk 2. A thriller in front of 7,500 fans at Tallaght Stadium in the League of Ireland on Friday. It means Rovers have won 4 from 4. They're 3 ahead of Dundalk, only 4 games in, of course. Top 2 in the country for the last couple of seasons as well. And Jordan Flores of Dundalk, Nathan, scored the best League of Ireland goal that I've ever seen, that I think has ever happened in football. Michael Duffy played over a lovely flat corner and it was like a volley, but he didn't jump and his foot was at head height and it flew into the top corner and it has had over 5 million views on the RTÉ Twitter, and it was just outrageously good.
It was disgustingly good. And I saw on your Instagram page that Sky Sports News picked it up as well, so it just obviously highlights how incredible of a goal it was. As you mentioned there, his foot was head height, so he sort of let the ball beat him, hit it with his trailing leg, left foot, straight into the top corner like a bullet. 3 keepers wouldn't have stopped it.
If you haven't seen it, go on to @RTÉ Sport on Twitter or just type in Jordan Flores, JordanFlores. He scored a great goal a couple of weeks ago as well, but this one was just out of this world good. The winner, though, came from Jack Byrne, the Shamrock Rovers midfielder, Ireland international, in front of the watching Ireland manager Mick McCarthy. And we'll hear his views in just a second. But first, the Shamrock Rovers head coach, Stephen Bradley, has been reacting with End the Call.
Yeah, we're delighted. Because I felt we scored. We had creating chances and then they got on top. They were the better team in the first half and we had to hang in there from the first half. But the second half, we really went up our levels and dominated the game in the second half.
We'll start with the match winner, Jack Byrne. Calmness personified tonight.
Yeah, he's outstanding, isn't he? I don't think Jack could have produced that performance last year at this time, because I don't think he was fit enough. But now his fitness levels are through the roof. You see that tonight. And when he's that fit and that strong, he's dangerous every minute of the game, and he showed that to me.
It's early days still, but now that Dundalk and Bowes both knocked off your shoulders for a couple of weeks at least, how big is that for you mentally?
No, when you look back at the league last year, our head-to-heads against Bowes, Dundalk and Sligo weren't good enough. Simple as that. We need to improve in the head-to-heads. And we knew that at the start of the year. And look, we've done that against Bowes. We've done it tonight. But we need to go now next week against Sligo. And then when we come up against them again, it has to be more of the same. But them three, we have to improve.
Over 7,000 at the game tonight. Top of the table clash, 5 goals. Is that something that we can expect from Dundalk Shamrock Rovers going forward, and how big is that rivalry for the league going forward as well?
We'll see as time goes. We'll see. We obviously both have to keep winning, but I think it shows the potential of this football club that we have 7,500 people here tonight, I think it shows the potential of the league as a whole. The two best teams in the country go head to head, and 7,500, I think it's a massive plus for the league as a whole.
Now, Jack Byrne scored the winner in that game, and he chatted to Irish Football Fans TV's Paul Nealon.
I think obviously getting the goal up was great, do you know what I mean? I just think the wind was a big factor after we went 1-0, and you know, they're a strong side and they played to their strengths. They used the conditions well and put pressure on us, like, you know, but look, we weathered it, and then obviously conceded a goal after the second half early doors, and then we had the win, you know what I mean? We started playing our football, and, you know, thought we got brilliant, like.
What were your thoughts when Pat Hooban obviously scored that? It was a great goal.
It's sick, to be honest, because I thought we were playing well at the time, and it's probably my fault, to be honest. I gave the ball away trying to hit a Doyag. I probably shouldn't have tried to hit it. I probably should have just went with. Look, you give the ball away against good teams like this, they're going to punish it. And it was sick, to be honest, because I thought we were playing well at the time. I thought we were controlling the game. We were using the weather then to our advantage and playing our game. And look, it's one of those things that we considered early in the second half.
Yeah, and then obviously getting back into it, I think it showed good character from yourselves, because, you know, a lot of people would have said last year maybe we would have crumbled under that. Now this season you kind of have a little bit of a psychological edge after the cup final.
Yeah, I don't think so. I just think it's like, it's at a top side, they're champions of Ireland for a reason. Do you know what I mean? We're trying to close the gap. We're trying to hopefully one day get past them. But they're a top side. They're unbelievable players. So look, it's not a psychological advantage or anything like that. It's just that we trust what we do, and we played well tonight in patches. Probably controlled most of the game. I think it was probably a fair result.
Yeah, just the goal taught me through what was going through our mind at the time. Great finish, by the way.
He's a top player, Luke. And I want to get a bit of stick up to Dundalk fans always leading up to this game. Chris Shields and Javi in our back pocket, all this stuff. So look, it was nice for me personally to just, you know, get him on the half turn for probably the one time in the game that he let me go. So I'm happy with how I manoeuvred the ball. I work on that a lot, you know, the little stop start, and you know, I was happy with it.
Yeah, on left foot as well.
Yeah, swinger. Just one at luck. It was lucky. Well, lucky. I practice it, but they don't come in from 30 yards that often, you know what I mean? So look, I'm happy with it, but I won't be hitting one like that again anytime soon, I wouldn't say. So look, it's a good night.
The crowd tonight, the fact that it's packed, great game of football from both sets of teams, you know what I mean? It just proves that there's great quality in the league, you know?
That's what the league needs. It needs nights like that. It needs, you know, crowds like that. 8,000 people at the game tonight, and it's on TV.
And 5 goals.
Yeah, it's unheard of, and I'm sure everyone that came here tonight will be looking to come back, but they want to be coming back and watching quality football like that. So look, it's the potential's there. We all want it. It's just what I guess the back now, isn't it?
Yeah, and just lastly then, obviously the squad's going to be announced for Ireland in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not even thinking about it, to be honest.
Yeah, without jumping too far ahead, but you've done yourself no harm, is all I was going
to
say.
Yeah, I'm trying to do as well as I can for myself, and look, it's not a stupid question, because everybody asks it, but everybody wants to be involved. There's every single player in this country would want to be involved in that game, you know, in Ireland or if you're playing in England. So look, of course I want to be involved. Every kid's dream to be involved in games like that, but look, whether I will or not, it's not in my hands. All I can do is, you know, try and play well and try and do what I do.
Jack Byrne chatting to Irish Football Fan TV, and before him is head coach Stephen Bradley. You'll hear from Vinnie Purty, Dundalk manager, on offtheball.com. The other games on Friday: at Dublin Derby at Talca Park in front of 3,000 fans and just over another sellout. Shelburne beat St Pat's by a goal to nil. Jay's Cabia got the winner with a header in the 22nd minute. Rory Feely sent off for Pats as well. Referee Sean Grant, a questionable decision really. Looked as if Aaron Dobbs just accidentally fell over himself, tripped up his own feet, but Feely was given a second yellow. And yeah, refereeing in the League of Ireland is a question, and one you definitely want improvements in. And in the coming years, if the league is getting better and there's getting more exposure, you want the refs to be up to a decent standard. Bohemians beaten 2-0 in Derry as well. Disappointing for Bows, of course, having had a decent enough start to the season. Lost to Rovers on the opening day. Had a great win against Sligo, was at the game last weekend, or midweek on Monday. But yeah, they were beaten 2-0 by Derry at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. And Cork City picked up their first points of the season, beating Finn Harps by a goal to nil at Turner's Cross 2. Of course, stories about Cork's future and a possible takeover involving people involved in Preston North End in the Championship, of course, who bought Sean Maguire and Alan Brown from them. So that was a great win for Cork and Neil Finn. Sligo Rovers against Waterford last night postponed due to the weather. In the First Division, Cabin Teedy, two wins from two. Great start to the season for them. They beat Athlone Town by 3-1 in Athlone Town Stadium. Top of the table clash involving Drogheda and Longford. Longford Town won that by a goal to nil. Sam Verdon got the winner there. Brandon Birmingham, the Drogheda sub, Nathan. He came on in the 70th minute. He got two yellows in the first 6 minutes on the pitch and he was sent off. And again, questionable refereeing, but not a great night for him, given he's only just on.
That's Mario Balotelli-esque, isn't it?
Yeah, fair enough, but I don't think he deserved it, really. There was a big protest, don't think he really deserved it, but Bray beat Wexford by 2-0, and UCD a 1-0 win at home to Cove Ramblers as well, so well done to the college on that one. And a game I was at yesterday in Tallaght Stadium, Shamrock Rovers 2-1, Galway United 1. Nathan, I understand the number of Shamrock Rovers players treated after the match for hypothermia, both at the stadium and in hospital. I believe the Galway United team bus had some medical issues and sickness on its way home too as well. I went to the shop at half time and I walked about 150 metres to and from a garage and got absolutely soaked to the skin. My forehead was in pain and I was out for about 4 minutes. I know the players, a lot of them didn't want this match to be on. At half time they didn't want the match to be on. And for sports people to be being treated for hypothermia because of a match, like Fran Gavin, the lead director, was at the match. He left it about 10 minutes to go, and if he was in the stand, I was in the stand in the press box. The referee surely didn't want to be out there. It was a terrible game. The pitch was wrecked. Why are we making people play sport in these conditions? Why?
I don't understand. It's not benefiting anyone. The fans aren't enjoying it. The players aren't enjoying it. It's not making for a good game of football. I don't understand who it benefits to have the game, but surely the League of Ireland season can definitely fit in a game later on down the season.
Yeah, but like the hurling is the same. You know, all the sports are the same. I'm not just saying football, but I guarantee you the players and managers would prefer to play Friday, Tuesday, Friday, or Friday, Monday, Friday. The First Division never has midweek games. So, like, Sligo was called off in the Premier. Why was that game on? I don't know. And it's so frustrating and so concerning for young players, a lot of them on both teams. Like, very sick. I just mind-boggles.
I don't think you can make a more clear argument for why a game should be called off when players are being treated for hypothermia.
Yeah, full fixtures for both the Premier and the First Division next weekend on offtheball.com.
It's the greatest league in the world. League of Ireland on 98FM.
On the way after the break, we'll be joined in studio by Conor O'Keefe, who's about to run 32 marathons in 32 days in 32 counties with £32 tied to his back. It's all native Pieta House. He's trying to raise €100,000 with Project 32, and he'll join us on 98FM in studio next.
98 FM. Now that's what I call sport with Jamie Moore.
You're very welcome back to That's What I Call Sport on Dublin's 98 FM. It's Jamie Moore here on Sunday. We're with you bright and early every Sunday morning between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. and also every Sunday evening between 11 p.m. and midnight. And I'm very happy to welcome Conor O'Keefe to the studio, who's about to do something very, very difficult and very, very amazing for a great charity. Conor, good morning. How are you?
What is the flipping crack, Jamie?
Thanks a million for coming in. Tell Cheers, us what bro. You're about to do and what you're training for.
On April 1st, I start what hasn't come to be known as Project 32. It's just 32 marathons in 32 days in the 32 counties of Ireland with £32 on my back. And I lose a pound a day after each marathon until I finish up with £1 on my back on the last day.
So you're an ultra marathon runner and you've before run a 200 mile marathon, so this should be easy.
Yeah, this should be handy. Like, I ran 8 marathons in 2.5 days in the 200 mile race, so one a day is be grand.
Tell us where the idea came from.
I was actually watching a documentary called Iron Cowboy, and in that documentary this guy James, he does 50 Ironmans in 50 states in 50 days in the US, and I was like, that's crazy. Like, you know, I could just see the effect he was having with people that he was coming across every day. He was just touching people every day with his story, and there were so many people coming out and showing him such support and really believed in what he was doing. And I said to myself, I want to do that. I don't want to just be this guy who just runs these super long runs, like I, you know, with the 200 mile race. I wanted to do something that actually really touched people. And so I said, let's do something like that in my own country. 32 marathons, 32 counties. And then the final kind of icing on the cake, when I decided that I wanted to put the weight on, that kind of came afterwards, really. I just decided that I wanted something that linked it in with PA the House, with the whole mental health aspect to it. So I said I wanted to put something that kind of symbolised my own kind of journey through mental health and the weight of negative thoughts had on my on my mind and on my body. So I've lost that weight now, so I'm just going to put it back on and lose it again, but this time with the whole country behind me, hopefully.
So 26.1 miles, that's a marathon, correct?
26.2, yeah.
Oh, 0.2, sorry, yeah. Okay, extra 0.1 of a mile. So that's like running from, say, the Finglas exit on the M50 all the way to Dundrum every day for 32 days in a row,
yeah,
in different counties.
I'm running from Tala to Swords. That's what I'm running.
Okay, in Dublin.
In Dublin, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
nice.
I think I do a loop of Phoenix Park or Stephen's Green or something like that, just to make up a bit of extra. But in and around Tala to Swords, that's what you're looking at every day.
How have you trained for it? And I'm sure clearly Storm Jorge, after the previous two storms, has made it difficult to be out running, but have you been out in it? Have you been in the gym and stuff as well, I'm sure?
Yeah, I've been out running in the storms. I've been out running in very, very strong headwinds and things like that, but that's all part and parcel of it, you know what I mean? You can't judge what the weather's going to be like on the day. Like, my training has been very, very strange for this one, because I was actually injured and couldn't really run for like about two and a half months. So I was in the gym quite a lot, doing strength and conditioning quite a lot. And now that I'm back on the road, I can actually really see the difference. Like, I'm the best athlete I've ever been. But like, for me, throughout my whole journey and throughout the whole thing that I've always said to people, it has nothing to do with the physical. It really is nothing to do with the physical. I can do as much training as I possibly want. You can't train for 32 consecutive weighted marathons. Just can't do it. So it's my mind that's going to be able to, that's going to have to basically pick up where my body leaves off and get me through the 32 days.
How long will each one take you? And I'm sure as the days go on, it will take you a bit longer.
It'll take me a bit longer for a while as these things go. I've done some consecutive marathons before, and I tend to get stronger as the days go on. I tend to go faster and I tend to feel better. So I'd imagine that I'll probably do it in about 5.5 hours for the first couple of them. It might be slower than that, 5.5-6 hours, but then I'll pick up the pace as I kind of lose more of the weight, and as I go through more of the marathons, my body will get a bit more used to it, and I'm sure then it'll probably dip again before I get to the finish. But it's the highs and the lows and the ups and the downs and the uncertainty and doubt that these things bring, that's just the magic of it, you know what I mean? That's what we do it for, you know. It's the unknown.
Do you listen to music when you're running? And you'll have to have a few different playlists ready for 32 days in a row if you don't want to be repeating music.
Yeah, to be honest, any races that I do, like for ultra marathon, for the last ultra that I did, I did a 200 mile race, and for 100 mile races, I don't listen to 1 minute of music. I just run and let myself just be with myself as the whole thing, because I'm relying on myself. You know, I've got a crew behind me for this whole thing, but it's my dialogue that I have in my own head and my own mind that's actually going to get me through. So look, there might be days where I say, look lads, I need everybody to just leave me alone, and I need to just listen to some music and get into the zone and completely lock off. But for most of the time, I don't really listen to music. I just, in training, I'll listen to music, alright, but for this, for anything like that, events and stuff like that, I just like to keep my mind kind of set on what I'm doing and keep my mind on the road.
And have you, each day, will you do the same, like will you have the same start time? Will you be eating the same things? Have you put that much planning into it to make sure that your body is at its prime condition at a certain time of the day, or after eating a certain number of foods or whatever, or eating the night before, to be actually ready to have the energy to do this on consecutive days?
Yeah, the nutrition side of it is huge, and the sleep side of it is going to be ginormous. I've got my physiotherapist, my neuromuscular therapist, Dunica, he's a guy that's been helping me since I started this ultramarathon. His name is Fit for Long. He works in in Cork. He's going to be with me for the full 32 days, which is absolutely going to be indispensable to me getting this done. But yeah, mainly just getting in calories, as much calories as I can, hoping that my appetite plays ball for the 32 days, because there's sometimes I just don't feel like eating and it can play havoc with me. So it's not really about, let's say, like any specific magic foods that I'll be eating. It'll just be about keeping good, healthy, whole foods into me every day, keep the calories up and getting as much sleep as I possibly can.
You're on the That's What I Call Sport on 98FM. It's Jamie Moore on Sunday in studio with the man who's about to run 32 marathons in 32 days in 32 counties of Ireland with 32 pounds of weight strapped to his back, Conor O'Keefe. He's doing it in aid of Pieta House and trying to raise €100,000. We'll give you info on where you can donate in a couple of minutes' time. But Conor, given the idea of having the weight on your back and the charity you're doing it for, links to your own mental health story and struggles and ultimate recovery.
Yes, yeah. Like, I suppose, like many people, I kind of, I struggled with my mental health from my teen years into my 20s. And like, for the majority of it, nobody even knew I was this guy who was just like, you know, cracking jokes all the time and just, you know, the center of the party or whatever for those period of time. Because for so long, I actually felt really guilty about feeling bad. Cause I was like, what do I have to feel bad about? Like, you know, I've got a great family, you know, I've got a good job, my friends, people like me, I had so much going for me. I felt really bad for feeling bad. And then it was kind of like, finally, it was kind of a case of, look, Conor, you need to sort, you know, you really need to get your head straight and sort it out. And then when I started this ultramarathon kind of journey, it took me through basically all through my whole life. I was actually able to think about my whole life on a different lens. And from doing that and touching base with who I am and where I want to be, it's allowed me to kind of come through the other side of it. And not only come through the other side of it, but be in a position where I can actually bring it to every single county and to where I can hopefully talk to people, touch people's minds, and get people thinking maybe differently about their own lives.
How important has exercise been in your life, and particularly in relation to your mental health? Like, I know myself, if I go for a run or even walk my dogs or go for a swim, I love swimming and I love how my head feels when I'm actually in a swimming pool.
Yeah.
How has exercise and does exercise impact your life in a positive way, particularly when dealing with mental health issues?
Hugely. Like, to be honest with you, I've gotten such a connection with running and such a connection with, like, pushing myself. Like, times where I really, really feel actually physically really bad is when I actually feel mentally the most at peace. It sounds kind of strange, but it kind of allows me to break down every other barrier that I have inside my mind and just get down to the very, very core of things. And I just really, really enjoy it. To be honest, I think exercise is indispensable for anybody that wants to move forward with anything in terms of their mental health. It's fantastic. As you said, it doesn't have to be about running marathons. It could be getting out and walking the dogs, going out to the park and playing with the kids. Like, you know, it can be anything. And it starts from there and it can build up. You can start doing your 5K park runs or whatever the case may be, or you might not have no interest in running whatsoever. You can do something that just gets you out, gets you moving, and gets you out of your own mind as well. In a certain point, you know, it's good to just, you know, let go and not have to think about things too.
Yeah, you mentioned the park run there, and a couple of years ago I did the Pieta House Darkness into Light for the first time in the Phoenix Park, and an unbelievable experience running through the Phoenix Park with thousands of other people, all for the same cause. And like, for you it's going to be the total opposite, because you're running on your own, you're not going to have thousands of other people running with you and cheering you on all the time, I'm sure, as well. So how will you do that? And you know, like, I love team sport because it's that collective thing, but for you, you're literally out there on your own.
Yeah, well, my background is in boxing, is in Muay Thai. So I was a Muay Thai kickboxer before I started running. So it was a very, very similar setup. You have your team, you have your gym, you have your corner on the night, but at the end of the day, it's you know, kill or be killed, you're on your own, and it's you who you have to kind of rely on. So that's no different for me in terms of the running aspect of things. I have a fantastic setup and I've come across some amazing people in my journey, and they've been helping me throughout the whole thing. But at the end of the day, it is down to me. it's on Conor O'Keefe's shoulders whether this thing kind of actually succeeds or not. It's about me who's putting his foot, one, you know, one foot in front of the other. And that's been the kind of mantra ever since I started this thing, is when I break it all down to the whole thing, all it is just one foot in front of the other. And I'm sure I'll say that to myself 100,000 times before I finish this thing up, is it is just one foot in front of the other. It's not the next kilometre, it's not the next 10 kilometres, it's the next step. And with each of those, you get stronger and you get stronger. And if you're thinking you're getting stronger with every step you do, you feel it, you feel you're getting excited, you know what I mean? And I've been in races where I've 90 miles in, or I'm like 160 miles in, and I'm absolutely buzzing because I've just locked in, I've like tapped into this part of my mind that just didn't even know it was there until I actually opened up the door. And I'm sure I'll open those doors numerous times, and I'm sure I'm going to feel like absolute crap as well, like, you know what I mean, during this whole thing. I don't do these things to get them done comfortably. Mm-hmm. I do these things so they'll test me to the very, very limits of where I and my body is going to be able to go. And I'm sure I'm going to hit that a number of times. But that's what I'm doing it for, is so that I can feel that and I can get it into my mind and get it into my body and I can get over it and move forward one foot in front of the other.
And I wanted to finish by talking about PA The House, Conor, the charity Absolutely. That you're doing this in aid of. And their website's headline is supporting people and communities in crisis. Therapy for people who are in suicidal distress, engaging in self-harm or have been bereaved by suicide. Services free of charge. Their number is 1800-247-247. You can find them as well on social media and on pa.ie. Talk to me about PA The House in your life. And I know when you were younger and you were struggling, you weren't aware of them at all or what they did, but they have helped you and helped countless numbers of people, and their service is so amazing and free of charge, and things like what you're doing to try and raise 100 grand for them are very, very important to them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to break it down in terms of the monetary side of things. I think it takes about €1,000 for somebody to get a full counselling service from PA The House. So 100 people are going to be helped if I can raise €100,000. I'm hoping to raise more than that, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. But what I want to say is, and it's like, I've helped Pieta in the past. I've done about 10,000, I've already raised about €10,000 for them before I even started Project 32. And so, but what I really want to tell people is Pieta House are one of many. They're one of many fantastic charities out there that are actually there to help you. Pieta House is specifically for people that have suicidal ideation, they're thinking about taking their own lives, or people that have been directly affected by suicide and need help with the grieving process. But if you are a person where you're like me and you feel like your blanket in the morning is 200 kilos in weight, you can't get out of bed, you can't get yourself into the shower, you have no go forward in your day, and you don't want to get out and go to work, and you don't want to interact with people, and you feel crap every single day, there are multiple charities out there that provide these services free, such as Samaritans and things like that, that actually will help you. So no matter what, no one's ever going to turn you away. No one's ever going to turn you away from the doors. There's always someone out there for you to speak with. And whether you've thought about taking your own life or not, you can still get in touch with PA The House, and they will be your middleman in terms of pointing you in the right direction. But there's some fantastic services out there, and it's great that I didn't know about PA The House or the depth at which they worked with people in that regard. If anybody comes across my story and contacts them, and I mean one person contacts them, and that ends up saving their life, everything is worthwhile.
Yeah, and if you're affected by that as well, you can contact PA The House or Samaritans as well, as Conor mentioned, for free also on 116123. Conor, people are listening and they want to give you a few quid to help your cause. Where do they go to find out more?
Absolutely. The main kind of bastion for this whole thing has been my Instagram. So the Instagram is COKEEFFE, COKEEFFE, and the link is in the bio to donate to the Project 32 fundraiser. It would be, if anybody even has the price of a cup of coffee and they want to throw it in there, every single cent goes towards PA The House and goes towards that amazing work.
Yes, and we've just tweeted that link as well, and at 98FM on Twitter as well. So if you can't find Connor's name on Instagram, or you're not on Instagram, you can find it on Twitter now at 98FM. Connor, doing Project 32, the best of luck. We might chat to you in a couple of weeks when it's all done and dusted. Well, cheers. It'll be a couple of months, but it'll be 6 weeks, 7 weeks time, it'll be done.
8 weeks.
Yeah, okay.
8 weeks, and when it'll be done. And I'll definitely come back up to you guys and have another chat with you.
Well, good luck and joy. Thanks a million for coming
Thanks
in.
Thanks a million. Cheers, brother.
The winner of a family pass to go and see the Ireland women's team in a Euro qualifier at Tallaght Stadium this coming Thursday against Greece is Sophie Moe. She's from Knocklyon. She's age 9 and on her way to play a football match. And her mum, Amanda, sent us a WhatsApp. So well done to Amanda and Sophie and their family. They're going to watch the game. More info and tickets on fai.ie. And that is it for another week on the That's What I Call Sport. Thank you so much for listening and to all of our guests. More from all of them in the podcast section, 98fm.com. And we'll chat to you next Sunday, folks. Have a great day. See you. Bye-bye.
98 FM's Now That's What I Call Sport.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, folks. Bye-bye.